Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Peju Bambushi Rumpelsberger.
Hi, everyone, and I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And this is the Bambushi Happy Hour Pop Edition. How are you, Ma? What's going on?
Oh, wonderful, sweetie. You know what's going on. The Democrats got their big bill through. The Democrats and Republicans work together.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we have a wonderful bill that's supposed to help us all out in terms of inflation. Right? Cost of living issues, inflation,
climate,
and climate control. Yep. So let's see how it all goes down. But I'm so happy. That's the most promising news I've heard in, you know, a few months. Sounds great. On the other hand,
what's wrong with Trump?
Our former president, seems like Mary Garland is not playing. Okay. Yeah.
No one is above the law.
The documents. What happened?
No one is above the law.
No one is above the law. They asked him to give up the documents. Trump says, screw you. And they say, I don't think so. We're going to screw you instead. So as Trump trotted off to our old stomping ground, Jersey, they decided to go down Florida way, down DeSantis way, and go to Mar-a-Lago. And
oh, wow.
It wasn't no raid. They prepared everybody and informed all the local people, you know, right before they did it. Or they informed, you know, whoever needed to be. And you know how they do at need-to-know basis.
And
then they went and did their thing, and which is appropriate. You know, because like Mary Garland said, nobody's above the law, and don't try to find out. Don't make me show you Donald Trump.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And of course, he was around telling everybody it's a conspiracy. They're all against him. Now, he ain't breaking the law and lying to the people and cheating and robbing and lying to everybody and their mama. You know, everybody's just against him. You know.
All right. Well, enough of that.
All right.
All right. Let's tell everybody what we are sipping on. And today we have something new, and we may actually have these people on the show.
Yeah, we may have the owners of this on the show.
I said these people. No, I'm joking. We may actually have the owners of the tequila.
Okay.
Tequila with friends on
tequila
the show.
With friends. All right.
Yes. And this is the Blanco. And they are nationwide now. They're shipping nationwide. You know, the retail stores are in Texas and in Florida. Somebody want to lead us in with a little toast?
Yes, I do. Long life and prosperity, health, wealth, and happiness. Salud.
Salud.
Ooh-wee.
Ooh-ooh. Oh my gosh, you're hilarious. Okay.
Woo.
So,
whoa.
Let's get it.
Kick and a half. Whoa.
So let's get into some pop culture. Samai, you heard that our girl Serena is retiring. Serena Williams, after the U.S. Open, she has won 23 major Grand Slam titles, and she's the GOAT. And I'm gonna be sad to see it go, but also happy to see what her next adventures are, because
me too.
She's doing a lot in venture capitalism, and she's a businesswoman to be reckoned with. So what are your thoughts on Serena retiring?
Wonderful, Serena. Retire when you know your heart is no longer in it, your heart, your mind, your body, and everything, which we got a glimpse of that in your last performance. So Serena, we are happy to see you moving on to the next phase of your still young life. Mm-hmm. And that is wonderful. And I congratulate you and respect and admire you to the nth degree. Wonderful. Wonderful to see you move on into your role as an influential and powerful businesswoman, mommy, wife, and all the other things that you are. Serena, we love you. And glad to see you go and do whatever it is that your heart desires, because you are in that position. You know, old tennis, nothing. You've given us thrills and just everything and brought more people into the world of tennis and just everything. And just wonderful. I'm just happy for you. Whatever you want to do, I'm happy for you.
I'm extremely proud of her. I think she is a super athlete. She is a role model to all athletes, male and female. She was a fierce competitor. And I'm just really happy for Serena. We knew it was probably coming soon. We knew her schedule got lighter. Just, you know, life happens. But yeah, congratulations to you, Serena. I do look forward to seeing you in the U.S. Open, which is coming at the end of this month, guys. So, you know, say her farewell, yeah, listen, you know, whatever the outcome.
Yeah, P.S., let me tell you something, baby. I see these other ones coming up behind you are having a hard time showing the kind of consistency that you and Venus showed. Even more so. But they're not, you know, they're very hit and miss. They're very tentative, mm-hmm. you know, and we're looking for the next, you know, Serena and Venus, you know, and it'll be a long time, baby.
We don't need to have the next Serena or Venus. Let people pay their own way.
Well, we mean people to rival that level of excellence.
We don't have like the males, how they do it with Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic. We don't have anything like that going on. No.
Okay. All right.
So another
congratulations on your retirement, Serena.
Congratulations, Serena. Yeah. Another athlete that is in the news is Mr. Kevin Durant, KD. So Kevin Durant.
What's going on with KD?
So Kevin Durant met with
the Nets. He's still trying to run away from the Nets.
Yes, he met with the Nets ownership and he reiterated that he wants to leave Brooklyn. And it is reported, we don't know for sure, that he said that, hey, if you don't trade me, fire Steve Nash and the general manager, Sean Marks. Now, mind you, this is something that Kevin Durant wanted Steve Nash. Him and Kyrie Irving, they asked for Steve Nash to be the coach, while other people, it wasn't really their first choice. So, do you think that this type of behavior is, do you think that these star players have too much control?
Well, yes. Let me just say, as we always say, case by case assessment. Mm-hmm. In this case, I'm saying yes, because KD is not producing like that. Okay.
Well,
he's not producing. Well, the cow jumped over the moon. If it was the fifth, can I give you my thing?
Okay.
If it was the fifth, I understand. Oh, wow. If Kyrie hadn't, if James Harden, if this, if that, if everything, if everybody and their mama, if. The outcome is still the same. Lack of production, lack of a ring. If I didn't get a ring because you broke your leg and your arms and your wrists, if I didn't get a ring because you had a fight with your best friend on the court, if I didn't get a ring because the chemistry is not good, none of that matters. Bottom line, you know, he's been unproductive with the Nets. And that's what I have to say. He's brought in whoever, Tom, Dick, Harry, and Kyrie. And it has not worked out. The end result, the bottom line, is that guess what? No ring. Okay. So let me tell you something, baby. When you start calling shots like that, you better have either gotten me a ring or close to a ring. Mm-hmm. I hear everything you're saying. I got it. Oh, if this, that, blah, 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 blah. All these different reasons. I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care. Wow. KD has not shown himself to be a leader of men. I'm going with Stephen A. When he's used that term, a leader of men, he has not shown himself to be a leader.
Well, he's not the coach.
I understand he's not the coach, but he's supposed to be the top player on the team.
Yeah, he is.
Listen. Daughter, who are you talking to? I've been watching basketball before you were born. And know that the top player on the team got juice downtown. He don't have to have the name coach. Half the time, he don't have the name coach, but he's still coaching the damn team and calling
it. He's not a
leader of men.
Okay.
So he don't come in here calling them because he done called too many bad shots already.
Well,
he done called too many bad. You asked me my opinion. My opinion is that KD done called too many bad shots for him to be demanding shit. You know,
I didn't say that I disagree with you. What I think in this instance, I think that you said how you said case by case assessment. I think that this is too much, you know, because Katie has not had good luck. I think he is asking for too much.
If you don't do this, then do that.
But
it's like he's just demanding whatever he can think of.
But also, here's my issue.
And he's looking for excuses for his own poor performance.
Well, it wasn't his. He didn't perform poorly. It was
not. He didn't perform poorly consistently, but he performed poorly sometime.
No, his statistics are really good, Ma.
Overall. But you know, he clinches when in crunch time.
No, he does not.
Okay,
he had a bad series. This is the worst series that he's had in his career.
This is what we're talking about.
But Ma, he's been in the NBA right. for like 14 seasons, right. whatever Wait, it is.
What have you done for me lately? Shout out to Janet Jackson.
Okay. Anyway, Ma, what I think is that KD's behavior is not good for the fans. And I think that he's advocating for himself and he's not really advocating for the team. And I don't like to see players act like this because I think it hurts the morale selfish. Of the team.
He's absolutely being selfish.
And, you know, I'm a fan of KD's, but not his attitude lately.
I'm going to go a little bit deeper than that. Mm-hmm. If I wouldn't care if he was advocating for himself, if it had a positive effect or a positive outcome for the team.
Right.
Okay. But you're advocating for yourself and it ain't working out for the team. No. So, you know, at least not yet, you know.
No, I don't know what's going on.
I'm looking at KD sideways. It's just like you throwing a bunch of tantrums and I'm not here for it, you know.
Somebody said to me that maybe he smokes too much weed, but I'll leave that alone.
I'm not really sure. And I don't know what kind of weed he's smoking because pure, you know, old school weed will make you more passive. He seemed like he's semi-passive aggressive. I'm not really sure what's going on with him.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so let's move on. So Ma, I know you don't really like to talk about these people, but I have to because they're in the news. So Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson broke up.
These Kardashian people.
They broke up after 9 months together.
Good.
Now,
he was the kid's stepfather a few weeks ago. Oh, he was taking the children around and he was replacing Kanye. He's the new daddy.
What do you think about all this? Like, I hate to be in their business like this, but I think that they want people to be in their business.
Kardashian, that Kim in particular, trash. How you got this man all up in your business and surrogate daddy and all this crap and 9 months later, it's over. Come on, that's some trim you wanted to have and enjoy, and you should have kept him in that role, not have him up there like he's surrogate daddy and all this here. You're just trash. Listen, I don't care how much homing you did before you became a mother, you a mother now. Keep things together for your kids' sake, okay? Kanye don't have good sense. Somebody got to have some damn sense.
It was rumored that Pete Davidson proposed to her right before they broke up. That's what they're saying. Whatever, and it was too much for her.
Kim Kardashian in particular, trash, honey. Trash.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're very wealthy and very successful.
She's not showing no type of motherly thing. Look, if that's something that you know you ain't serious about, but you just want to have your fun and that's your new lover or something you want to just experience or whatever, then you keep him over there in that bubble. You don't have him all mingling all up in your business and have your kids all in it and subjected to all type of crap. You don't do that. You might find any number of men that you physically attracted to and you can do that. Because you're a single woman, you could do what you want to do, but don't bring them all up in there. Because every time I turn around, he's taking one daughter over here and one kid over here. For what? You got money for Uber? You got money for drivers? You could do it yourself. You got money for multiple net. Why is he all up in with the kids and all like that? Like he's surrogate daddy. I don't like what the public portrayed. Okay, and Kim Kardashian, you need to stop. You need to stop acting like you just don't have good sense. You
well,
know, who you go to bed with is your business, okay? But who you subject your children to and have them around, not saying there's anything wrong with him, but you know, if that was just a 9-month fling, then he don't need to be that close up with your kids. Hello, goodbye. Oh, this is mommy's friend's Pete. Bam. That's it. Not, oh, here, let Pete take you there. Oh, let Pete take you over here. Let Pete. No, hell no. Hell no, because Pete'll be gone in a minute. I ain't that sure what I'm going to do with Pete. So it ain't going that deep with my kids. No.
No, I'm saying
trash.
To you is
she trash. That's why I don't like to talk about it. It's just trash.
Okay, well, I'm not going to call anybody any names.
I'm calling it trashy behavior, trash. I'm calling it. Okay. I'm calling it.
Well, what I will say is that whatever is going on in her personal life, she makes it, you know, public. And I don't think that that's cool. You know, I don't think that that's something that I would do where I have my children out there in the forefront where everybody can see what's going on. And anybody that I'm dating.
Talking about, I'm in the bed with your wife and all that. What is that? Your oldest kids are big enough to hear that and read that and see that. I mean, what's up, Kim?
They're on social media. Hey,
come for me, trash. I mean, come for me, Kim. Oh, or whatever, trash. Just good, same thing, because it's all you. Come for me, good, okay? Like I never forget what Tony Rock said, come for me. Hey, I ain't got millions to lose. Come for me, trash, in my opinion, okay? Trash with money. Money don't make you not trash. Plenty of rich trash.
You think Kris Jenner is a genius?
What?
Kris Jenner, the mom. Okay, all right. I guess you don't think so. Well, maybe genius is the wrong word.
I think she is
a shrewd businesswoman.
I think she's an exploitative mother. I think she's an exploitative money grubbing mother when it has come to the kids that she's exploited sexually for their sexuality. That's what I think of her. The one or two kids, I don't know, that she has exploited not having to do with anything sexual, I don't know too much about. I guess that's would be the model. I don't know. I'm leaving that open. That's a question mark. To me, she's an exploitative, money-grubbing mother. I'd like to see a mother do something with her kids that don't look like the mother's the damn pimp. Okay? And that's what I'm going to say to that. That's what I'm gonna say today.
Okay, all right. So I'll.
I think she's an unscrupulous, unethical pimp of a mother. That's what I think. Most mothers won't go there. Bam.
Okay. Well, keeping in line with all of this, my Kanye West posted on Instagram. Pete Davidson is dead at 28. It was Photoshop. It was a Photoshop headline, and it's since been deleted. And a lot of people feel that he went too far, me included.
He's too far. Everything about Kanye is too far.
And I have two questions for you. One, do you think that he should apologize either through his PR to fans?
No.
And then the second thing is, according to People magazine, they're saying that Pete Davidson had to seek trauma therapy after Kanye, after, you know, all of Kanye's stuff that he was doing, good. Including that last incident.
Yeah, good. Okay. Pete Davidson is not practicing good mental health himself.
Well, he has mental health issues.
Okay. So listen to me. He is not practicing good mental health. For Pete Davidson to put himself in a position to get involved with Kim and her kids and her family and Kanye, he already knew what it was when he stepped into it, which is a bunch of bull crap, okay? He knew when he stepped out there. If he was practicing good mental health, he would have never gotten involved with that whole thing.
That's okay? True.
And then he jumped all in it. He jumped deep into it and back and forth with texting and this and that and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, the outcome was very predictable, okay?
Yeah.
So he has to take care of himself. He's responsible for his own mental health, and he put himself in a position where he knew he'd be vulnerable and subjected to a bunch of nonsense, okay? And a bunch of stressors. He knew that already because the whole world knows these people and their public behavior. Okay. Well, he's go on. That's on his end.
Can I just say
you ask me the question and you're not letting me answer the question. But okay, go ahead. You know, I mean, I answer when you ask me.
Go ahead.
And, you know, if you didn't want me to talk, why'd you ask me? Kanye, do I think he should apologize? No. You know why I don't think he should apologize? Because it's disingenuous. He knows he's not sorry. And to me, he should be consistent with what he is. He knows he resents the whole thing with Pete Davidson and or he just wants to keep all his.
Well, you shouldn't put that out in the public Pete Davidson is dead.
Wait a minute. You didn't ask me, do I think he should have done it? You asked me, do I think he should have apologized?
I think he should apologize for that. That's why.
I think he should only apologize if he's really sorry. And I don't think he's really sorry. So I'm going with no. Fan love and war. I gave you my response. Now you give yours.
But saying that somebody is dead is triggering. And this and Pete Davidson. So I don't know for sure.
How about pictures? I'm in the bed with your wife. How triggering is that?
Kanye started that. And Pete Davidson, supposedly he may have had suicide attempts before.
All is fair in love and war. Everybody know Pete Davidson wasn't dead. And if he's that crazy, he think he's dead when he's not, then he need to go someplace and you know, be contained for a while. You know, no.
I think he feels embarrassed by everything.
No, I don't care if he's embarrassed or not. I don't care if any of them are embarrassed because you put your stuff out there in public. He ain't no new Jack. He's a young man, but he's no novice. He knows all these things. He's no neophyte. You know, he's been out here for a while. He's on Saturday Night Live. He's into this. He's into that. He knows that he has to protect his mental health, as we all do, but he knows he's more vulnerable than many of us. Now, I'm not going with it. Okay. And he knows what's up with Kanye. He's spoken on Kanye's mental health. He knew all that, but yet he jumped right into the fray.
But I think Kanye should stay out of it.
And Kim, get all three, get what they deserve. The only people who are innocent and undeserving would be the children. The rest of those people, the rest of those individuals, get what they deserve for doing a whole bunch of BS. All three of them. That's how I feel.
Okay, well, I think that Kim and Kanye both seem to get passes because they're very wealthy and successful.
Passes from who? Who gives them passes? Passes from who?
Their fans.
Please.
Okay. All right. Well, we can move on, Ma. All right. So go ahead, Ma. Would you want to say something?
No, I'm not, because I can stay on that for a long time. So let's keep going. Let's keep it moving. That's enough of those individuals. Keep it moving, daughter.
Okay. So we have another segment called Sex Positive or TMI. So Kevin Federline, Britney Spears' ex-husband. I guess it wasn't her first husband.
Has he lost weight?
That was a long time ago. I don't think he.
What do you mean that was a long time ago? I said he lost weight.
But he lost weight a long time ago. Is what I'm saying.
I didn't know if he lost it or gained it back or what.
But I haven't really seen him, but I know
that's the honest truth. If you haven't seen him, you don't know what his weight is. All right, go ahead.
What does his weight have to do with it?
I just was curious because he was a handsome guy before, you know, didn't he look up and he didn't look the same. But
Ma, that's not nice. All right.
Listen, so I'm not the fittest person myself, so go ahead.
So Kevin Federline insisted that the controversial conservatorship saved Spears and that the team still loved their mom, even though it's been a few months since they've seen her and decided not to go to her June wedding. And he said, this whole thing has been hard to watch, harder to live through, harder to watch my boys go through than anything else. It's been tough. It's the most challenging thing I've ever had to do in my life. And he was specifically referencing the boys' reaction to Britney Spears' nude posts. I try to explain to them, look, maybe that's just another way she tries to express herself, but that doesn't take away from the fact of what it does to them. It's tough. I can't imagine how it feels to be a teenager and having to go to high school. Okay. So Britney's current husband defended her and obviously didn't like what Kevin Federline had to say. And Britney statement to Kevin Federline.
Okay.
Saying don't do that, you know, pretty much. No. So what are your thoughts? Do you think that Kevin Federline do you think that Britney Spears's post are TMI and sex positive? And do you think that Kevin Federline was being TMI?
Okay, let me see if I even have these categories together. Mm-hmm. I think Britney should not have done it completely nude. I think she could have been very sexy, but cover up.
She was covered up. Well, let me explain, because on Instagram, you can't be completely naked. So you can suggest.
It was highly suggestive.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know how highly suggestive, but I think it should have been more mesh and bikini-ish, you know, because she has the teenage boys. Those are her sons. Those are not her new husband's sons. Those are her kids. And she has not raised them already. So, you know, you never know what their relationship is already, okay? And for a lot of different reasons. I'm not saying it was her choice, but, you know, for many different reasons, she did not raise them. Mm-hmm. And then now they see her with this highly sexual, you know, sexualized pose, and people will certainly comment on it. And I think that they will feel some kind of way. And I think it may not have been in best of taste. I must admit, I haven't seen it, but it may have not been in such good taste. And to me, she should have erred on the side of caution, which would be a little bit more conservative than maybe she would have been if she didn't have, you know, children, or especially teenage boys, you know. However, with Britney, there's also this thing of her having serious mental health issues, and you never know about her judgment. You never know what was going on in her head. I mean, people have poor judgment, no matter even if they're in good mental health, which she may be. So I really don't know, but that's a question mark. As far as Kevin Federline commenting on it, I think he should have commented on it. I think that's perfectly fine.
Well,
why am I not ever finishing my thought? Why am I never finishing my thought? Go ahead. You asked me what I thought. I don't think Kevin Federline was out of line. I think he's sort of speaking on behalf of his sons. And that's all I think. And I think you know, it's hard for, apparently it's difficult for her new husband to be empathic. He's not in that position, and apparently he can't appreciate the fact that Kevin Federline and the boys are. I think we have to be very careful with kids. I think that's why we have a bunch of troubled kids now, because the parents aren't quite careful and thoughtful enough about how things affect the kids. And that's what I believe. I'm finished.
I think that Britney Spears she was always a sex symbol. That's how she made her.
That's irrelevant to her kids.
That's how she made her career.
That's irrelevant to her kids.
And I don't, number one, I think that Kevin Federline should address that with Britney, and he shouldn't do that publicly. I don't think that's a good look on anybody. I think you address it with whoever you have an issue. And she's done stuff that has been, you know, highly suggestive for years. I don't really see what, to me, I didn't see what the big deal is. I mean, it's not necessarily anything that I would do, but I just don't think that they, I don't like the way they went about it. You know, she wasn't really nude. I mean, it looks like she was nude. They didn't see anything. There's how many mothers go on there and do the same thing? And I feel like they pick on Britney. That's just my opinion, Ma. Like, mainly all of the superstars have done some type of form of suggestive nudity. And so not just Britney, that's all. And I think that Britney was just trying to appeal to her social media people. You know, she wasn't actually having sex with anybody, and you didn't see.
Well, that's good. Listen, so that poses the question, or begs the question, could it have been worse? Apparently it could have actually been worse. You know,
but I don't think Kevin Federline should have spoke out about it publicly. I think that was something that he should have addressed with Britney, not with a whoever, whatever publication it was. That's just
no, I would have answered if they had asked me that, if that had been about an ex-spouse and I'm the custodial parent, I would have answered to whomever asked me.
But he brought it up. He brought up about her.
Well, maybe that's how he felt.
Okay. All right.
She made a statement by, you know, putting the poses out there.
So you think that Britney's is sex positive or TMI? You think it's TMI?
I'm going to say TMI.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to say TMI. At this juncture, what you do at different points in your life, it is not the same. You know, it's not the same. It changes depending on your circumstances. I'm going to say right in this instance, she was a little bit TMI.
Okay. I'm leaning towards sex positive. Like I said, it wouldn't necessarily be what I would do, but I didn't think it was to the extreme that Kevin Fed on thought it was.
Yeah. Well, he's the father of her two sons and he's there with those boys. And so he has some idea of how they might really feel about their mother.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's about embarrassment behind their mother's behavior in the first place. So let's call it for what it is. Yeah. Well, that's the whole problem. Yeah.
Okay. So Irv Gotti was recently on Drink Champs and he let out a lot of information about his past with Ashanti. Irv claims
wasn't that his biggest star? What was it? Death Row or whatever they are?
Murder
Inc. Yeah, I knew it was something about death.
Ashanti and Ja Rule, but
Yeah.
And he was on there actually on the show with Ja Rule.
Ja Rule, right.
And Irv claims that he found out that Ashanti was dating Nelly while he was watching them on the TV. They were at a ball game. And he also claims that Ashanti wrote the song Happy after having sex with him. Now, nobody knew, at least it wasn't widely known.
What song Happy?
Happy, the song that Ashanti, her single, Happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, I thought you was going to say Mary J's Happy.
No.
I thought she was trying to say it was that kind of thing, you know, okay.
No, but the song was Happy, talking about how happy she
But
he's saying after they had sex.
But why you say she actually wrote it, I thought it was in dispute. That's what
worries. Mm-hmm. No. So here's the issue with this. No one really knew, or at least it wasn't widely known, that they ever had any type of relationship. And Irv Gotti had a wife during this whole time. And when he was on the show, he was, you know, referring to Beyonce, Ashanti, using, you know, calling her B and da 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 da, all this other stuff. And
calling her B?
Yes.
Oh no.
And Fat Joe defended Ashanti and called out Irv and called him a sucker and just kind of put him in his place.
Good for you, Fat Joe.
All so right. Sex positive or TMI with Irv Gotti?
TMI. Totally TMI. He didn't need to go there. He didn't need to go there with that. And referring to her as this and that and then being disrespectful. No, TMI. Mm-hmm. I like Fat Joe. I like where Fat Joe took it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we should normalize respecting women and not, you know, kissing and telling. And who knows if it's even true.
Right, that's why it's TMI.
She's always kind of denying everything with him anyway. So, I mean, Irv Gotti is just too much.
That's just TMI. Just TMI. He was being disrespectful and it's just TMI. I mean, as you can see, Fat Joe was from a different mindset, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was something that supposedly happened 20 years ago.
Right. You know, come on, man, let that go. You see, you remind me of Vivica A still whining over 50 Cent. Go ahead, man. That's over.
Leave Vivica alone. Oh, man.
She better leave 50 alone. You can't say boo to her before she starts talking about Curtis.
Okay. All right. So finally, Ma, in sex positive or TMI, Jennifer Coolidge, you know Jennifer Coolidge. She's on White Lotus. The 61-year-old on White Lotus.
Oh yeah, oh my girl. Oh yes, a man. Yeah,
yes. So
ashes or somebody's ashes and carried on.
Yeah. So she recently did an interview in which she revealed after the 1999 American Pie movie, she had a lot of sexual action. The soon-to-be 61-year-old this month in August, she said that she has slept with 200 people, a benefit she got from doing the movie. Is that sex positive or TMI?
That's totally sex positive. She's almost 60.
She's 61. See.
She's almost 61. Please, that's not bad at all. How many men? 200? For over the last 20 years,
or women, or whatever, we don't know. It's 200 people. With.
Oh, right. That's not bad. That's like 10 a year. Do the math. That's not bad. That's 10 a year over the last 20 years.
Okay.
Did I do that math right? Just add a zero, right?
That's not
bad. 20 years, 200 people, right?
Yes.
And she's almost 61. She should have it. That's like 10 people a year, right? Come on, follow me. Follow my math.
No, I'm not following your math. That's not right.
That is right. For 20
From where?
Years. Okay, you 10 people.
Oh, a year. Okay.
I'm doing
that's
it
right.
times 20 years.
Okay,
20
that is
years
correct.
Ago, she was 41. In fact, that's low because she should have started longer ago.
Well, who knows what the real number is?
Look,
but she's saying
I don't know, but 200 is not fair for somebody 61. You know, let's say you started having sex when you was in your 20s. That's not bad. These men are up in the thousands. That's not bad. Oh, no, that's not bad.
I didn't say, listen.
The thing about it, for a woman like her who's been all in show business and met all different people, she's not like the average person who only met, you know, maybe average untalented people. When you're around all those talented hunks and this and that, that's just part of it. Oh, that's just like a perk. That's like a benefit. You know, this is what I have to say. That number is very conservative. And
that's a conservative number?
Yes. The only reason it's that high because she's a mature woman.
What I will say is that is sex positive. And if she is happy with that,
totally
loves that, totally, you know, great. I won't say if the number is small or high because it depends on what you think. Some people think people think 5 is high, man.
For somebody 61?
Some people might think that.
Listen, I've heard of people who had more than 5 over the weekend. I didn't listen. I don't even want to talk about it.
Oh, no.
That ain't me. Oh, hell no, it ain't
well,
me.
It, yeah.
But I'm just talking about, I know different people that, you know,
and
they weren't
even
in show business. They were just regular people, you know.
They were working.
Celebrate their birthday weekend, you know.
They were working.
They were pleasuring. That's what they were doing.
No, they weren't working in Elevator.
No, but
it's very sex positive. Yeah, I like Jennifer Coolidge. She's funny.
Good for you. Good for you. That number only sounds big because you're almost 61. That is not a big number.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about our show that is leaving in 1 week.
All right. Let's think about she's been having sex for 40 years.
Okay.
Since she was 20, 21. 5 people a year. 5 people. Let's say she started having sex when she was 20 or 21. Okay, now that's perfect.
Okay.
No, listen to me. She started having sex at 20, 21 years old. She's 61 now. That's 5 people a year. Average it out. You understand what I'm saying? If that number is not big. All right, go ahead.
I'm totally fine with that. I think people should have sex with as many people as they want to, as long as everybody is consenting adults.
I have
no issue with that.
She's good. Jennifer?
Jennifer Coolidge.
Go, Jennifer.
I just think you're funny when you say that's a small number.
Because people are not doing the math. You just listen to the number. If she was 20 and she said 200, you'd be looking at her sideways. Now, wait a minute. You understand? But she's 61. That's not a big number.
Okay. All right. So my Better Call Saul, we saw the penultimate episode and it was a lot. I had a few takeaways from it. Number one for me, was Kim. Kim Wexler had so much guilt. How she decided.
Yes, she did.
She just changed her life to a very boring, mundane, I don't know how she could deal with that, but I guess after everything that she dealt with as far as drama, but she was working at a sprinkler company, and she was eating those sandwiches with Miracle Whip, and hair was, you know, not very exciting. It just didn't seem like the Kim that we knew. And
of course she was even more mousy looking than ever. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
I'm surprised at her evolution. I didn't think that, first of all, I didn't think she would be alive. And second of all, I didn't think that her and Jimmy would separate
the way they did.
Yeah, right. Slash Saul.
Okay.
What you think?
Well, I'm in full agreement with you as far as that's concerned, the way that they broke up so abruptly, or the way she broke up. But I understood that she was having pangs of conscience. You know, her conscience was getting her, and I understood it because she knew she was really, really, really very, very, very responsible for Howard's death. She knew she had her both hands in Howard's death.
Oh, for sure.
And she couldn't take it. And I was glad to see that she had that much morality left in her. Mm-hmm. That she would say, look, enough is enough. So she wanted to go someplace, and she's trying to be nondescript. Mm-hmm. Okay. So she's just looking just as mousy as she possibly can, you know, mm-hmm. and being just as humdrum and whole hummish and everything as she possibly can. The only thing I didn't understand.
Even her husband or man, whatever seemed.
Yeah.
Not that exciting.
The only thing I didn't fully understand. Why she didn't do it, because it can be done legally.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand why she didn't change her name.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? I didn't get that, because that's how Saul, whatever his name was at this juncture, whatever his name
was. Saul at this time. Yeah.
I didn't, you know, that's how.
Oh, no, it's not up. Saul at this time.
It's something else. It's something, whatever he, name he's using.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He identified her by her name.
Yeah, you're right.
And I didn't understand why she didn't change it, because like I said, I can understand if she's trying to be on the straight and narrow now. She's mm-hmm. not trying to do her regular BS. However, you can legally change your name, and she certainly knows that.
Right.
You know, so I don't understand why she didn't change her name. That doesn't mean that he couldn't have found her anyway. He still may have eventually found her, but it wouldn't have been so easy. All he did was, you know, whatever he did, and asked for her by name. But if he didn't have the name, it would have been very different.
Could it be guilt? Could it be her holding on to a part of her?
Maybe so. Maybe she wants to just melt into everything. But to me, if I would have changed it legally, I wouldn't have felt guilty about changing it. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm saying it's something that can be done legally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and something that would not hurt anyone else, but would help me hide and get away from whatever it is that I'm trying to hide from. And she's trying to be totally nondescript. You know, the mousy hairdo, the mousy looking clothes, the eating the tuna and Miracle Whip.
Yeah.
Not even ordering a fancy lunch or anything. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, she's totally immersed in that particular lifestyle. And I got it. But I still begs the question, why didn't you change your name? Because that's something that you could do legally.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that you could do legally, you know? Yeah. So, maybe she thinks that she didn't want to do it because it would be maybe to avoid prosecution and some of her other crap. Maybe that's what, you know,
yeah.
I don't know. I didn't fully understand, but maybe that's the reason, because there's always the reason of why you want to change your name. You know, mm-hmm. that people will look at, you know, and they want to look at, are you changing your name to avoid some illegal activity in your past? And that's what they, you know, look at. But anyway, I thought it was really good. I thought she did her thing when she broke down, when she was talking to Howard's, was it Howard's sister?
No, that was the wife, Ma.
I'm sorry, Howard's wife. I knew it was Howard's family, whoever she was talking to. And I thought that was so good. The way she said, look, here we are. Here's this statement. This is what it was. And I just thought it was so good. I thought she really did her thing in that particular scene. I thought that was great. I loved it.
But yeah, I mean, I think that, what was the name? Rhea Seehorn. I think that she deserves to win an Emmy for this role. I think that she really killed it, in particular this season. But she has really, I just wasn't expecting
her. It also
her.
Did another thing, Pei. It also made her likable.
It did make her likable. In that moment, yes. Because she needed to do that because she was going in a direction mm-hmm. where she became very unlikable. She was, mm-hmm. you know, killing a role, but you were just like, how can we root for somebody that is
she was the devil. She was the devil.
Steadfast on attacking Howard. Right.
Oh, man, she's terrible. Yep.
Another MVP from this episode had to be Carol Burnett, and I forgot what the character's name
Carol
was.
Burnett.
Marion.
Well, she was just so endearing. Carol Burnett was like, what? Wait a minute, what?
Oh, yeah.
You asking me to do what? You know what? Hold on. Wait a minute. Let me pull out my laptop and what? Let me ask Jeeves a couple questions here. And that was so cute. And it was real funny to me because I used to use Jeeves all the time. I don't know if Jeeves is still around, but back in the 90s, you know, that's when Jeeves was real popular. I don't think you use Jeeves, but I did in my lifetime, you know, and that was just so funny and so real.
Jean,
and I loved it.
Jean was her, right? Is Jean her character?
I don't remember what her name was, but I'm laughing at her doing Ask Jeeves, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So to me, that was so funny. You remember Jeeves? He was a smart butler, you know, and you would ask him.
I don't remember.
Oh, no, it was called Ask Jeeves, Jeeves.
Maya, yes, we got that. Butler, yeah.
And he was so good that you would just ask him whatever you wanted to know on the computer. But that was back many years ago before you know, even whatever.
Okay. You know, So I thought, I just really liked that. I didn't think that she was going to play such an integral role in Better Call Saul, because when they introduced her, she just seemed like, you know, an old woman.
A feeble old lady.
Mary is her character, and Jean is Saul's character at this point.
Okay.
He just named it, so that's okay. My bad. But I liked it. I thought she's really smart, and another like really cool takeaway to me, Ma, I don't know what you thought about it, was Jesse Pinkman and Kim Wexler having that conversation. And when he asked Kim, was Saul at the time,
was Saul a
good lawyer? And she said, when I knew him, he was.
Right.
And right. That was poetic. The writing was just really on point with that, because I was like, you know, the final stamp, like he's Saul now, and he is no longer that good person.
Right.
Who, you know, had some bad luck, but was trying to do the right thing.
But now you don't know what's going on. Right.
Yeah.
Now it's an altogether different situation. Yeah.
Do you think
it's good too?
My question to you, and I kind of think it now as I'm talking to you, do you think that him and Kim Wexler getting a divorce, her leaving him, do you think that was like the final nail in the coffin?
To flip him all the way to the bad side?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but see, it could have been the nail in the coffin to flip him to the good side too. It's just whatever he chose to do. It could have been him saying, damn, I'm so bankrupt emotionally and morally, and my sense of right or wrong and my sense of having any ethics or scruples or anything is just so warped or so void. Mm-hmm. Maybe now I need to think about those things, because I lost somebody who was really important to me, you know, because of a lot of decisions I made. You know, to me, it could have easily turned him more positive.
Yeah.
Instead of having him going deeper down the dark side. It could have gone either way. And he decided, we came to that fork in the road, and he decided, okay, I'm going all the way. I'm going head first down the dark side. And that was his choice. He could have did what she did because she had gone further than him in many respects, you know, and he could have said, you know what? I don't think I want to do this anymore. I think I want to make a change. But he just continued to be more larcenous and cruel than ever.
Mm-hmm.
You actually saw sides of him where he was, you know, worse than he had ever been when he was with Kim.
Yeah.
So, you know, I attributed to him just choosing to be evil.
Well, yeah, he's evil and he, to me, he's going worse than what we saw on Saul, like at this point, because I, you know, I guess the black and white is kind of after Saul, right? That's what it represents. So, yeah, so, you know, I don't know what's going to happen for the finale. You know, the
I can't wait for the finale. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I kind of hate to see it end because it's so good, but I'm just looking forward to seeing how they're going to wrap it up.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know what they're going to do, but I don't see it coming to a good end for Saul.
Do you think Saul is going to die?
That might be too good for him. He might have some other negative fate. I don't know that death is, the, you know, I mean, I don't know how much suffering you do in death. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know what that is, but, you know, it would appear that he's done a lot of kind of, you know, really bad things.
Yeah.
And, you know, unnecessarily evil things. So I don't know. I don't know if he's just going to walk away. I don't know. But I don't see how he feels justified in doing the things that he's done. I don't see it.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. Can't wait. And I thought this was this Better Call Saul. Guys, please binge it if you haven't seen it. I don't know who hasn't seen it yet, but
writers have done their thing. They are for doing their thing. And they are on top of their game.
And the acting is par with the writing.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah, it's like everything came together to align perfectly. Yeah.
Okay, so Ma, do you have anything that you want to say before we, you know, say goodbye to everybody?
I want to say to everyone, you know, like we just said, binge on Saul and anything else that you think is good and worth watching, and take care of yourself. Now they have the monkeypox out here. I don't know. Just keep informed and, you know, see what's going on with that, and just take care of yourself and continue to enjoy the rest of your summer. We are at the beginning of August. We have the rest of August and up until the third week of September. So enjoy the weather, enjoy all the outdoor activities, and remember, life is short. You know, be forgiving, have an open heart, and take care of yourself. And so until we talk again in the next few days, take care.
All right, guys, thanks for listening to the Bamboo She Happy Hour. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest at the Bamboo She Happy Hour, and also at All Things Peju. Guys, do not forget to write us at info@bambushihappyhour.com so that you can be, your letter can be featured on a show. If you have any comments, if you have any questions, we'd love to hear your feedback. And also subscribe to our YouTube channel, All Things Peju. We really appreciate you guys. Have a wonderful day, night, or afternoon, whatever you listen to us. Bye, guys.
Bye.